Hello and welcome to a special interview that's taking place here at Press TV. But first, the background. It was December 19, 2007, when Iranian Shahrzad Mirgholi Khan arrived at Miami's International Airport in Florida in the United States upon an invitation by the U.S. as a guest for a business expo. And that's when her nightmare began. She was booked for felony charges and then sent to a number of prisons, an ordeal which lasted for 5 years. But her nightmare finally has come to an end. She's arrived back in Iran's capital, Tehran, on August 12th and joins us now here in the studios with her twin daughters. Well, I'd like to welcome all of you, and especially you. Seeing you right now in our presence, of course, is a sight in itself.
Thank you so much.
The obvious question that comes to mind right now is, first, what did it feel like when you encountered your daughters, your mother, and your father when you saw them, I believe, at the airport?
Well, it was just as I said in the past, I felt like I was born again. And it took me a little bit while to believe that it's real, because I couldn't believe it's real. And I was just so happy and couldn't believe it at the beginning, but now I'm just like starting a new life again. I'm alive, let's say. Coming from a dead zone to the live zone with the reality.
I recall it was 2 years ago when I had met your daughters and your mother when we had them on Press TV asking about pretty much what was going on with you. And if you can briefly recount, if it's not too hard for you, the ordeal that you went through, I guess the low points of your experiences in the various prisons that you were at.
It was the most horrible experience that anybody could have ever had in the life. But the good thing is I always had my children in my mind. That was the only thing, and faith, of course, that you can get over the nightmare. Because whatsoever is happening to you in prison basically by itself is a hard place. And when you are a foreigner in your supposedly enemy's country in prison, well, the circumstances are 100 or 200 times worse. Being away from your family, then the tortures that they do to you, all of that, it was so tough. But when you have children, you have to carry on. You have to hang on, you have to cope, to be able not to let those circumstances break you. So that's what I dealt with, and of course with the support of the kids. So I got over it, and finally it's over. They couldn't twist me, they couldn't break me. I passed it, and I'm with my family right now, looking forward for a good and brilliant future.
Hopefully. Now, it's interesting that you say that they couldn't break you. I mean, what did they do? What did they exercise on you, whether it's physically or mentally, to break you?
Yeah, first thing is putting me innocently in prison. The false persecution, the false indictment, the false charges that they have brought for me. Then it's when they came to me and they were trying so hard, offering me that I would cooperate with U.S. government. I mean, it is a mental torture when they put you, first of all, they take your basic right of freedom. I mean, taking you away from your family, your children, put you in prison, then putting all kind of pressure on you that if you don't cooperate with us, we would keep you 65 years in prison. You would never ever see your family and your children again. Then, for instance, for the first 10 days of my prison, I was not in contact with them. I didn't know what's happening to them. Then when they took me, the whole trial, the whole prosecution, it was all false. And it's like you are in a spider web, right? You are hunted there, that you have no way out and you cannot do anything. Then physically, for instance, they would take you and keep you 18 hours. I'm talking about they would wake me up at 4 a.m. in the morning, taking me down to at 4:30 a.m. to freezing. I mean freezing 0 degree, holding cells. Then they put you all in chain, let you stay there for 18 hours with no proper food, nothing. When you have headache and pain, they just ignore you. Just in order to, you know, get you tired, exhaust you, and break you, really break you, to say, okay, enough is enough, whatever you say. That's what they really do. It's just like, during the course of my trial, the first trial and the second trial, there has been times that I was like, Lord, I would rather they give me, you know, just now, death penalty or something. I cannot go through all this anymore. I can't. All the lies the government says, all the disrespectful attitude that they have toward you, it's hard. The other thing, like I would give you an example of physical and mental torture. It was when, after 4 months that I was in prison, and it was clear for them that I'm not going to cooperate with US government to get them my ex-husband, they said, okay, if you come and plead guilty to one of the counts, which was just say that you attended the meeting in Austria, which I have been charged for it in Austria, I have been convicted and I paid the penalty in Austria, it was over. They said, if you do that one, we are going to give you time served, you are going home. I said, if it's that one, I'll do that, because later on you go to international court and prove the double jeopardy. I got the time served. They took me out to the ICE. They took me to the airport. I called my children and I said, I'm coming home. They took me to prison. They told me, you are going home. They kept me 8 hours in holding cell in prison. Then in front of all the people, they brought me back in chain to another county jail. And they said, no, there was an error, you are not going home. By 4 a.m. the next morning, I was booked in the new prison. At 6 a.m. on that day, they came and they picked me up. They took me back to the court, and they said, there was an error with your sentencing. I was like, what do you mean? They said, well, we should have given you 29 months, not time served. Imagine your children are sitting in Iran waiting for you to be reunited with your mother. You are having the hope that if the nightmare is over, you are going. I mean, which other type of mental torture and physical torture they can do?
That's interesting. So no explanation was given. This is before you went to, I believe, when you got
the
transferred
first
to the
trial. No, it was before I go. Yeah, but that's when I was in Miami State, right. Federal Detention Center of Miami.
And then they took you to Danbury.
No. Then I went back to Miami. Then I went to the trial. I went to two trials. Then when I got my sentence, before they take me to Miami, another time they took me by mistake to another prison, which was horrible. I fell down from the bed on top of there. Then 11 hours, they put me alone with nobody, in chain, in a bus. They drove me back to Miami, and they said there was another error. Then 2 months later, they sent me to Danbury. Yeah, so it was, they were moving me all around the states or different prisons from here to there, that I wouldn't be able to sleep. I would be the majority out of 24 hours, I would be like minimum of 13 hours in holding cells in chain. So you would be just, and I had heart conditions too, but would they care? No.
So basically, they are leading you around to these different locations at the same time, telling you there are errors and
yeah, based on errors.
No real specific explanation given for what they're telling you.
Yeah, that's the way they do. They don't say that we are going to torture you. That's the way they do. They just sent you here and there, and they all the time they are like there was an error. I was writing them up. I mean, I have a whole bunch of documents that I'm going to sue them based on these facts that happened, that I was like, supposedly our US government, if I would have been in Iran and these kind of errors would happen, I would be like, okay. But come on, how many times you can make error? Give me a time served and say there was error. Sent me to different prisons and then say there was error. The indictment was error. Like, I would tell you something more interesting. In FBI records, they have my gender as a male. So when I wrote them that how come you have my gender as a male, they said there was an error. I was like, how credible, you know, is FBI when they make an error like that?
Well, that's the whole thing, which puts a big question mark over your case. Do you think your case was politically motivated in any sense?
It was all politically. It was all about, I always said it and I always wrote it, I was a political hostage. Like, they just wanted to use me as a political, you know, pawn.
Well, let's zoom in on some of the, you know, we've been following your case, obviously.
Yeah,
I'm sure all of everyone has been following your case, if not around the world. And lots of viewer comments have come in. And I'm going to just review some of these with you. One viewer wrote in, this is on our website, presstv.ir.
Okay.
Shahrzad Miqalukhan, nice to see you back and welcome home.
Thank you so much.
Again, it does show the world that our great nation and leadership never let one of its own citizens down. Support and solidarity to reunify a happy and lovely family. I'd like to ask you, did you have a chance either directly or if not through your perhaps contact with your mother to have Iranian authorities in any shape or form at least try to help bring your case about in terms of recognition or any assistance in that regards?
Well, for the first 3 years, no, there was, but I mean, I had the chance. The fact was, for instance, American government never notified Iranian government of my arrest. So they caused a confusion for Iranian government that, for instance, for the first 2 years, when my mom was going to Ministry of Foreign Affairs, there was no report that I am arrested. They couldn't believe that, because once they arrest a foreigner, they have to send a notification of arrest to the consulate or embassy. However, the falsified document, they had it. But when I was in contact with Iranian intersection in DC, and I asked them, they said there is none. They have received none.
Interesting.
Yeah. After 3 years of effort, then Iranian government got involved. I was in contact with them, but the problem was they are so disrespectful. And it's as if they don't hear anything, they don't care. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I am aware of so many letters that Iranian intersection for my medical issues that I had wrote to the State Department via Embassy of Pakistan. But as far as I know, they never responded back, even to Iranian government. So it was always needed that when Switzerland come in the middle for the hikers, that was the time they changed my prison from Danbury, which I was about to be dead, mm-hmm. to Wasika. And when Oman authorities came 5 months prior to my release, okay, so the ambassador of Oman, whenever she calls, they would do whatever I want to there. I mean, they treated me a little bit better, like a human. Not like a human, but...
Well, it's interesting. We're going to get to that issue of what your rights are in a second. Again, I'm zooming on this viewer comments, and I'd like to get your... Get your daughters involved in this conversation also. This particular viewer wrote, my blood is boiling, 5 years of her life stolen by those filthy people. Well, let's throw the end out here. Well, 5 years of your life, I'd like to find out, now that you've seen your mother, it is a long time that you have lost. How do you proceed making up that time? Let me ask you, Melina.
Well, it was very hard. Like, that 5 years was, like, the worst and hardest years of our lives. And I'm just very, very, very glad that it's over. And I don't want anything like that to ever happen again. And I don't think 5 years can be given to us back again. We can't go, like, 5 years before and then get that 5 years back. But I'm just really happy that my mom's back, and we'll try our best to try to fill in the 5 years that she wasn't here.
Sure. Malika, I'm sure this is a huge burden off your shoulders also,
yeah.
What you experienced not only in the past 5 years, but it's got to be kind of odd seeing your mother again and not knowing where to start, right?
Yeah, well, these 5 years were really hard. It truly, like, felt more than 5 years. It felt like 10 years, because, you know, like, you need your mom with you and stuff. But, like, when she came, I was really happy and excited, and I still can't believe that she's actually with us and we're, like, reunited. It's a really great feeling. I'm, like, unspeechable.
And I recall either both of you or one of you cumulatively, perhaps, sent a letter to the U.S. presidents.
Both of us.
Both of you wrote that. Did you ever get a response from the U.S. president?
No, nothing.
Any response at all made to you, or were you aware that
no.
they had sent a letter?
I believe the President of the United States care more for the dog that he got for his children. I never heard. I wrote by myself, I can tell you, over 20 letters to President Obama, but I've never got a response. I wrote many letters to Ms. Hillary Clinton. The only thing I got, it was just a card that we take your letter into our consideration. I was waiting and waiting and waiting. I was like, okay, Sarah, because I was advised that Sarah wrote the letter. Somebody is going to tell me at least what had happened. But as far as I know, they said the president never get the letter. It was Ms. Clinton that Sarah has met with. And nobody told me anything. I mean, everybody was mocking at me when I said, okay, Sarah was released because of me. They were like, no, you are nobody. We got Sarah because we are American, you are Iranian.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's zoom in on this. This is something that, from what you have stated, you experienced and it occurred to you, and God knows how many other people this happens to. This viewer wrote,
many
how many people have been and are still in that hellhole, meaning the United States, so much for human rights in the Western countries. Now, you just described to us your ordeal, which contained clerical errors leading to more incarcerations for you, not to mention the way you were treated, which have been pretty much a violation of basic human rights.
All the way it was mistreatment. I mean, they just deal with you in Federal Bureau of Prison. It's a corporation to make money. Inmates, not only me, even the American inmates are considered as walking zero. That's what I always wrote them. There is no value. You are not considered as a human. Everything that you see from the outside is the image they created to show the world. However, if you take your camera inside the prison, you would eyewitness how even American citizens are suffering for the lack of human rights in their own prisons. I mean, I always said that I was not the only innocent one. I was the only one who stood up for her rights, which they wouldn't do anything. But human rights has no meaning in the United States. It should apply on foreigners in other countries. But if you go there, it does not exist.
You have stated what occurred to you in terms of your treatment inside the prisons, and of course what happened to you regarding your court case. Are you planning at all to pursue this legally?
Sure. I would be having, right now at this time, I have a pending motion at the court because I'm still appealing my verdict. I'm still fighting my case. I have collected all the falsified documents to have the proof to take the case to the International Court of Justice. However, as of this moment that I'm talking to you, I have a pending motion to vacate my conviction and go back to the trial status in United States. Then I have federal lawsuits for the Federal Bureau of Prison for all mistreatment that they had for me. I mean, it's not just one case, it's gonna be quite few. And because there were so many occasions.
And finally, you have come during the holy month of Ramadan back to Iran. How
yeah,
does that
it
feel?
Was Laylatul Qadr.
Exactly, so this must be an added special feeling. Tell us what your plans are as a finale to this.
Well, I believe I was so blessed to be reunited with the kids and my family on that night, and it's just a blessing, and I hope, I mean, I'm sure Lord is gonna bless us and support us that I would get all my violated rights back, because United States cannot make me 5 years younger. They cannot switch back the time and put me where my children needed me the most. We all know teenage age is the most significant time in any child, however more especially girls, time that they need their mother. But that's their job, separating and destroying families. That's what U.S. does all around the world.
Well, it's very nice talking to you. I wish you the best of luck. Obviously, we're going to be still hopefully be in touch with you. And of course, it's very nice to see your daughters. We wish you the best. Good luck with everything, and it's good to see a smile on your face.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here.
And that covers it for this special interview with Shahrzad Mirgholi Khan and her twin daughters, of which you can find and follow her on our website, allthews.presstv.ir. From me, Kaveh Taghvi, it's goodbye for now.